You know, it's so easy when you get a sponsor for the show and you use their services. And I do. It's Karen Locker's Solutions for E-Commerce. Solutionsforecommerce.com/momentum will get you 10% off right now. I've been using her for, I guess it's been a year and change since I first interviewed her. Hired her pretty much right after the show because I'm like, I need everything you're talking about. I've got problems with stranded inventory. And guess what? I had lots of problems with stranded inventory last year as the restrictions were coming through. Boom, she'd fix it. If there's an issue with the photo, fixed. All that kind of stuff. I get refunds now. They just show up. Hey, you know, we're replying to your cases. Here's your refund. My feedback. I don't have to fix my own feedback anymore. It's automatically done. And I see the notes coming through. I still once in a while get an email from Amazon saying, hey, you have some stranded inventory. I send it to her. And most of the time, it's already been dealt with and fixed. But let me tell you, being a single operator, my wife and I, this just takes so much off our plates. I can't say enough about it. It's Solutions for E-Commerce, the number four, solutionsforecommerce.com/momentum to get 10% off her services. Be sure you tell her I sent you, solutionsforecommerce.com.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 188, Ryan Gran. Man, I am so glad I got a chance to catch up with Ryan. Ryan was episode number 16. You really should go back and listen to that episode before you listen to this one to get perspective on Ryan's past and how he became what he is today. And it's so cool to hear that he's continuing with his success, but he's taken it to the next level. And I love the fact how consistent Ryan is. And I think there are some lessons in that. And he's a young guy, and yet he's consistent. And that's why he's having so much success. We catch up on all that, and then we start talking about something new. Let's get into the podcast. Morning, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. Boy, I'm so excited to hear from my friend, Ryan Gran. Ryan, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Stephen. Happy to be here.
It's been over, all the way from 2015. You were episode number 16. Get that? Is that crazy?
That's crazy. We've come a long way since then.
We've been really busy, both of us. And, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about, you know, I have not seen you out and about at any of the events. I guess, I don't know what state we were in. Was it Nashville?
I think it was last year, CES time. Yeah.
Okay. So that was the last time that we kind of seen each other. And I know I've been out at a lot of events and you have not been out at a lot of events. Has that been intentional?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't been at events. That's been an intentional choice, mainly so that I can focus on the business here and really just keep things growing. I do like attending events, but I found that if I go to too many, I don't end up getting things done in the business. So it's been a conscious choice to only go to about one or two per year at this point.
Well, I think it's smart because you're now doing consulting. And so that there's an expectation that goes along with that. It's not quite an easy. You know, you've committed to people, hey, I'm going to do this for you. So guess what? You got to buckle down and do it, right?
Yeah, I mean, when we're doing the consulting piece, we have to make sure we're constantly doing and testing new things in our business and operating the business every day too, and then making sure that we're able to provide the support for our clients as well. So that's been a portion of the reason for the decision.
Well, let's go back first. And so Ryan was episode number 16. That's where his story is. It's a great story. It's an amazing story because he's a fellow accountant. He's a reformed accountant. And he decided to walk away from a pretty promising career that I can relate to because I'm going to be walking away from mine pretty soon. And you just did it, you know, 35 years earlier than I did. And you know what? That's why you look is the way you do, and that's why my hair is gray. So, you know, you'll have nice black hair when you get to my age. But it's true. You really made a conscious decision as a very young man. And I remember, you know, you had a duplex, and you were intentional mm-hmm. about that. You were intentional about the vehicle you drove. You were intentional pretty much about everything. And have you deviated from that now, a year and a half, almost 2 years later?
Not really. Most of the most of the things I do in the business are still very intentional and they have a reason behind them. Like since we've talked last time, one of my goals at that time was to continue to outsource pieces of the business and get a little bit more removed from the day to day so that I could focus on growing the business. And then I've been able to pretty much have an operations manager run all the day to day operations of my business since about January 1st of 2016. So that's kind of allowed me to focus on other aspects of the business. I still have that exact same duplex. I still live in it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. You didn't move up. Don't move up. No matter, because right. You know what, you get to my point in life, this is a true story, is we're getting ready to sell our house because it's my wife and I, and this big, you mm-hmm. know, we have a big house, you know, I'm bragging or anything, but there's 4 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, and we don't use most of the rooms. The living room, I've never been in my living room. The dining room we use once a year, maybe, you know, because mm-hmm. we have a kitchen set, you know, where we sit at and stuff. It's the truth. And so you move up because everybody else moves up. And boy, if you could avoid that, you know, it sounds to me like you're thinking that way.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely temptations to buy nicer things or move up, but the living, I'm very content with where I'm at for the time being. Someday, I'm sure I'll buy something bigger or nicer.
Yeah, but if you have kids or whatever, mm-hmm. I mean, that changes things, right? But boy, when you get to the other side, you're thinking, oh man, how am I going to do with all this? Because the other problem that we have is that we have filled the house, you know, or the houses, you know, over the years with stuff mm-hmm. because you got rooms, right? You got to have a piano, right? Everybody has to have a piano. Now you try to get rid of a piano and it's a beautiful piece, but we're donating to somebody. But anyway, okay. So the thing that you had back then was online selling experiment. And that's where you posted your results. You posted a lot of information way back. This is what you were doing mm-hmm. Way before pretty much anybody else was. And you were open and honest, man. You put everything, the good, the bad, the ugly. And then you stopped posting your results. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. Why go so far and then stop?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I was posting my financial results from September of 2013 through around July of 2015. So those are still all out there if anybody's curious and wanting to take a look. But there were a few reasons that I didn't want that information out there anymore. Part of it was just people see the large sales number and they don't necessarily understand exactly what all those numbers mean. So I think at the time I was doing some of my last months were around 100,000 in sales per month in some of the financial results posts. And people see those and they don't fully understand the breakdown. And a lot of Amazon sellers probably do, but the people I'm referring to in particular are like friends and family.
Yeah. They think you're rich. And
exactly.
Writing checks to me. I'm owed some of that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it puts you in an interesting situation there because they don't understand that while there might be 100,000 in sales, I'm putting every dollar that comes back into the business at this point right back into inventory. So it's not like I actually have all of this cash. And that's kind of a disconnect that I just didn't want to have in my life. I knew that if I continued to post my financial results, the blog would continue to grow and things would continue from that standpoint. But the Amazon business was really going well. And that's what I decided to put more of the primary focus into as opposed to the website, and then took the results a little bit more private and a little bit more offline. And then that was good from like the friends and family standpoint. And it's also been good from having a team in place now. There's several individuals that I have that are working for me. And then if they can see exactly how much money you're making on a monthly basis, that leads to some interesting conversations as well. So I'm still willing to share some of that information with many members of my team. It's just, I want to be able to control exactly how that dialogue looks and they're not reading it on a public forum.
There's got to be context.
Exactly. Context is really what I want to be able to provide. And I just wasn't feeling that I was able to do that posting the financial results at the level that they were getting to. I kind of felt like I had shown what I wanted to show, that it would be possible to transition from a full-time job and then replace that income. And then once that was achieved, I didn't have as strong of a desire to continue to share those on a monthly basis.
Oh, I think it's fair. And the other thing, what I liked, well, there's a couple things. First off, I like that you were doing it. That demonstrated what it took to keep a strong business, you know, and to show, right? And so I think that was a good example because I think people said, ooh, I could do this too. And then, you know, it was nice and easy. The other thing is I noticed that somebody else does post from time. You let guests post their results. And so that, again, and this person's obviously not as successful as you are, and I'm not taking, you know, I'm not putting them down in any way, but again, that gives you context, you know, and you're not seeing 100% margins. I'm seeing 17%. Those are realistic numbers and smaller sales numbers. And so that's what you tend to see from a lot of newer sellers. And I think that, that's really good, strong context. Again, that's onlineSellingExperiment.com, and I'll have a link for his website. So I like the fact that others are posting, and that also helps your team say, wait, you mean not everybody's selling $1 million a year and making? No, it takes a lot. And what you don't show in those numbers is eventually the other labor costs, right? And all the other, you know, financing and all the rest of that stuff. So I think it's smart. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really cool, though, that you did. You know, when I look along about this, you were doing experiments, too. You were talking about different things in your life that you were kind of trying to help. I guess were you trying to hack your life? Is that what you were trying to do?
I think that's fair to say at certain times. I like testing different things and just playing around with, I don't know, lifestyle.
As you get older, are you still doing that?
A little bit. From the business standpoint, my business bought an existing Shopify store. So we're seeing if we can get that back up and running. And then from like a lifestyle standpoint, what am I testing now? Like food has been one of the things I've been testing. I've been doing like meal prep in advance and seeing if I can stick to a schedule there. And then I was doing some experiments around like lifting weights. And my goal was to dunk a basketball. So I was doing some
exercise. Did you make it?
I did in... just in the gym. Okay. But I haven't been able to do it in an actual pickup game yet, which was what the true goal is. So
okay.
I'm always testing some different things and just, I don't know, helps make life interesting and fun.
I think it's very cool because you set specific goals, you build a plan and then you follow the plan and you achieve your result or not. Right. And then you modify. And I think that that's very healthy. I think of the hacking that goes on right now. I see a lot of people hacking their sleep, trying to hack, you know, maybe it's a Tim Ferriss thing. I guess, you know, that might be a generational Tim Ferriss thing. I want to talk about the Shopify experiment. I don't think I'm up on that one. Why don't we do this? Let's take a break. When we come back, can we talk about what the thought process was and what you're hoping to achieve and then results so far? Is that fair?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. All right. We'll be right back. You've heard me talk a lot about private label, and Andy Slammons is back with a new free course. It's the Smart Private Label course. S stands for selecting a product. M, manufacture with the right supplier. So important. Amazing photos, keyword research, and listing preparation is the A. R stands for ranking your product to the first page of search. We all know how critical that is. And then T is taking your product to the top of Amazon and beyond. This is a free course. It's going to help you get that foundation to do your own private label productness. You want to work smarter. Get it smarter. AmazingFreedom.com/smart. AmazingFreedom.com/smart. Tell Andy I sent you. Yeah, he had me on that Shopify thing. I'm like, ooh, I got to stop and pause. I want to hear more about that. You know, again, think about this. He's now 30-something years old, but he's so focused, so intentional. And that is the lesson right there. That is it. It is following that one course until successful, right? Focus. Following one course until successful. And Ryan's a great example of that. We beat the Shopify story because that is very interesting to me. I know a lot of people are considering starting a Shopify store, but here he buys one. And basically, he's buying somebody's private label product and their business. And, you know, think about a product that you might have let go. Could you have sold that? Was there a model there that could have been? And he talks about that. And I'll have links for the companies he mentions. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with Ryan Grant. He was episode number 16 back from August of 2015. It still blows me away. And that's his background. And it's a story really worth listening to because I think as a young man, to be able to walk away from a really promising career, knowing that, you know, that could have been a track you could have went, but your lifestyle, which I'm always preaching on, you chose at such a young age. And man, you're going to be so far ahead of us all. Love it, love it, love it. Okay, so you dropped this little bomb on me. Oh, yeah, we just casually, you know, we bought somebody else's Shopify store. How does that go about? How do you find, A, how do you find a Shopify store to buy? B, the details. Did you buy their products? Did you just take their shell and then modify it to yours? I mean, walk us through that.
Yeah, so this was something that I was kind of looking into towards the end of 2016, just browsing different sites that are for sale. So a couple of the main sites that people are able to sell their businesses on, and in turn, people like me or you are able to buy businesses on, are Flippa.com. It's Flippa.com. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one called EmpireFlippers.com. And those are basically just people selling their websites. So I would browse those every few days.
What were you looking for? I mean, what did you think that you were, I mean, did you go like, I want to buy somebody's Shopify store, or are you just an opportunist saying, you know, hey, if I see the right deal, I might be willing to invest?
Yeah. So I was more looking at the opportunist way, just seeing if the right deal popped up. What got me thinking along these lines is I have the duplex, I'm invested in physical real estate. And then websites are more or less virtual real estate. And I was thinking you could potentially get a better return on investment with virtual real estate as opposed to physical real estate. Because I'm still interested in doing more physical real estate down the road. It's just I thought virtual real estate might be a potential alternative.
I like it. I mean, I think your thought process is logical, right? You now know what it takes to run, to handle physical real estate, right? You get the calls at 2 a.m. when the toilets, I mean, you get all that, you know what that expect there. And so now taking on something else, it's an interesting, I think it's another good experiment. I think it's worth seeing. Maybe that's something you like, maybe it's not.
Right. Yeah. So basically I was browsing for sites for sale, and then I was open to like an affiliate type income site where you're just promoting other people's products, anything from advertising to e-commerce. And an e-commerce site caught my eye, and I decided to go ahead and purchase it. And then I, with the sale, I got the website, I got all of the remaining inventory, and then I got the contact information from the suppliers. So basically, everything that I needed to continue running this business. The prior seller had pretty much stop putting any time or effort into it. At one point in time, they'd had it up to doing about $3,000 in sales per month.
Wow.
So,
I mean, that's a big effort to get, you know, traffic wise, right? I mean, we all know that, you know, was it 85% of all e-commerce sales last year were done on Amazon or some crazy number like that. So that 15%, that little $3,000 drops in there. Somebody was able to drive enough traffic to their product and their individual site to be able to sell $3,000. And it isn't a drop shipper.
Nope. This is
physical actual,
yep. Physically taking the products in house and then shipping them to the customers. So
well, that's awesome. Did you get their customer list too?
Mm-hmm. Yep. We got the past customer list through Shopify as well. So we have the email list from the past customers.
Okay. Does Shopify, I'm not really, you know, I'm not up as much as I need to be, and I will be this coming year. It's one of my goals. Do they have a CRM, or do you have to use a third party customer service other than, you know, just name and address and email address?
Right. They probably do have some apps that integrate directly in the platform, but we're using MailChimp that.
Okay. All right, cool. All right. So you get this asset, right? You get the physical website, some products, a customer list. And are you still selling that product?
Yep. We're still selling basically the same products. And then we've added a few new products that the same suppliers offered as well. So we spent a good portion of early 2017 just kind of getting that up to speed and getting the website ready to go. And then we're in the process of kind of doing a relaunch at the moment. And we're putting strategies in place. And we've had some sales along the way. I think we did almost $1,000 in sales in March.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm happy with the progress so far, but we're really looking to get it up to a pretty much, I'd like to be at least at $1,000 profit per month by the summer.
Well, let me ask the obvious question, because everybody else is like, Steve, ask him. Were the products already being sold on Amazon?
These exact products are not on Amazon. There's other sellers selling similar items.
Right. Is your plan to bring them to Amazon?
Yep. That's something we've got in motion too. I'm waiting to place that bigger inventory purchase to be able to supply the demand for both Amazon and then for some of the promotion that we're doing too. So we should be live on Amazon within probably a month or so.
Well, you basically bought someone's private label business in essence, right? Even if it's mm-hmm. a bundle, whatever. And because I've seen people, you know, shopping out there. I mean, Andy was telling me a story of that there are companies out there looking to buy people's private label businesses and their mm-hmm. Amazon stores, and then they pull it together like a REIT, but for retail. And I'm like, that's interesting. And so you did it on a real small scale, but you really, is this something that you would continue to do based on your experience so far? Do you think it's replicatable?
I don't know for sure yet. I think there's definitely ways that it could be replicable. And that's what I'm hoping to kind of prove with this test is if we can create demand for these products, then we can do it for just about anything else. So that's what we're looking to test out, is to see if we can create demand for products outside of Amazon.
Did you have efficiencies already in house that you were able to absorb and reduce the cost? Because I think about I've acquired a few companies, you know, through my other mm-hmm. businesses, and we always looked at it, you know, like, hey, we can gain efficiency here, and this is how you pay for it, right? I mean, in essence, were you able to do the same thing, or, you know, what's your thinking? Or you just plan on growing revenue, period, to pay back?
Yeah, I mean, we're mainly looking to grow revenue. We do obviously have the in-house shipping ability. So like if the orders come in, we have the ability to fulfill those without much additional strain on our process. So that was a big thing that was nice to have in place. In terms of the marketing side, though, that's not something we've done a ton of off of Amazon. So once we get on Amazon, it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But it's definitely a lot of new with this project as opposed to existing things.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of why you're doing an experiment, right? Isn't that kind of mm-hmm. where you jump into? And I think it's genius because you're getting an education, right? Whatever you paid for it, you know, there's a cost. If you can make some of that money back, but if you walk away with an education, especially like the marketing side, for example, right? If you didn't mm-hmm. know that and now you become an expert in it, there's value in that, right? I mean, as we go forward and the e-commerce world continues to expand, you now have a really strong foundation to build on. I think it's genius, and it's neat because you're investing in something that probably will give you a payback, even if you broke even after all's said and done, mm-hmm. and you got the value of this education. Pooh, you know, it's not a textbook thing, because you can't learn this stuff in a textbook until you apply it, because it's moving so fast, right? How different is it than your Amazon business? Because I mean, it must be unusually different. Driving traffic's not easy.
Yeah, I mean, it's an entirely different ballgame compared to Amazon, where we, on Amazon, for the most part, we're finding products that have existing demand and then bringing those products to Amazon. And in this case, we're trying to create demand for our products. So, I mean, we've been testing out Facebook ads. We've tested out some ads on a few other smaller platforms as well. And we've tested out like our email marketing and seeing if we can create interest from customers to purchase our product. So it's been an entirely different ballgame, because instead of we go from the mindset of trying to find the right products to trying to find the right customers interested in our products. So it's been a challenge, but it's been fun, and I think it'll definitely have a lot of value for the future, no matter how well exactly it plays out this time.
Well, you are way ahead, because everybody's talking about doing it. Very few are doing it and doing it successful. The ones that I'm seeing are almost all drop shippers, and they're all, you mm-hmm. know, just pounding out the listings, making their 4%. And in their world, that's awesome. But what you're trying to do is create a business. I mean, is this a business that you would build up? Have you ever thought about, would you sell it? I mean, is there potential to sell it someday?
Yeah, I'd say that's the most likely exit for what I'm planning to do with it.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it all depends on where it's at in about 6 months. Then that's if it's at like $1,000 or $2,000 profit per month, most likely I'll just try to sell it. If it's something that I think has a lot more legs and can grow a lot further from there, then I'll keep it a little bit longer and see where it can go. But I'd like to most likely sell it. That's flipping websites is something that is pretty interesting to me, and I think there'd be a lot of opportunities there in the coming years.
Well, especially if you have physical products, because, you know, if you could take the product and show, hey, it was doing this and we were able to take it and do this, you know, there's a reason I would come to you to have you help me develop my business. And I guess I'm leading you right into your coaching, right? You teed it up so perfectly for me, you know, and I'm letting you pitch. I get a little bit of complaints once in a while, but somebody pitching, but I get it. I mean, I understand what you're doing. And to me, I'm with you, is that if you can, I mean, there's a lot less risk in doing something that like this than there is in doing physical real estate, isn't there? A lot less risk.
Yeah, I mean, with a website, I mean, you can set it up for less than $100 and then figure out if it's going to work or not. If you buy an existing site, it's going to be thousands, but you can still, much less than physical real estate. But
compare that, yeah, physical real estate, where, you know, as I said, the bathroom can stop. I mean, you got a lot of, or somebody could, you know, trip and fall. I mean, you got a lot of different things that can go on. I love it. Ryan, very, very cool. Man, it's always cool talking with you. Okay, so let me tee up the rest of it. You are doing coaching. That is part of what you do. Now, you're not coaching new sellers coming in, that kind of thing. You're coaching more of an existing business. Is it to help them get off of Amazon into other, you know, channels? Or where are you at with that?
Yeah, so we typically are working with people that are somewhere beyond just getting started and not to a level of doing a full-time sales. So what we do is we kind of have like an all-access pass to the business, where the people in the program get access to information on all of the sourcing models we use on Amazon, everything we're doing on all of the other channels we're selling on. We're on Jet, eBay, we're approved on Walmart, but haven't been selling there yet. And then they get access to all the information on what I'm doing with Shopify and all of these other platforms as well. So more or less, you get access to me and then one of the members of my team, and then we help you implement the strategies that I'm using on Amazon as well as all these other platforms, and then help you build a business. And you have more or less on-demand access to me and my team as well to get help with things along the way. So we set it up in kind of a hands-on way. It's definitely not for everybody, but we set it up in a way that we can work directly with individuals in a very close manner and then help them in a way that gets them results.
Okay. And kind of a group way too, right? So an individual and then as a group. You also wrote a book. I was surprised, but I do remember it. I just forgot about it for some reason. And you wrote a complete guide to FBA reimbursements. What was the goal there? Was it because you needed to get reimbursements for yourself and you figured it out, or what happened?
Yeah, so put that book together about a year ago when we were going through the reimbursement process for my business. It was me and the operations manager for my business. We were going through the process of getting reimbursements for ourselves, and we had, I think, discussed with a couple other friends who are Amazon sellers, just asking if they were getting all the reimbursements or knew about the reimbursement process. And they weren't aware of it, and we were getting a ton of money back. I think we got like $10,000 in reimbursements back in a short period of time. And we're like, okay, we should document this. We need it for our business. And then I think it would have a lot of value for other Amazon sellers too. So we just decided to put together all of our processes and all the ways that we knew how to get reimbursements into one PDF that lays out exactly how to identify items that you're owed reimbursements for, and then how to ask Amazon for the reimbursements, and then make that available. And so far it's helped a lot of people get many thousands of dollars back from Amazon. And I mean, I don't care if you use my book or not for reimbursements, but Amazon almost assuredly owes you money. There's a ton of options out there to get reimbursements, whether you use a service, this book, do it yourself, it doesn't matter. But there's definitely money out there waiting for you. So one way or another, I'd make sure to go through it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this is a guide that you can learn how to do it yourself. And there are companies that offer services. You got to figure out what your time is worth and figure out which works for you. There are some people who are independent and they need to do it themselves, and it's a learning curve. And I think that's a smart move. Or there's others that say, you know what, I don't want to do it. I don't have the time. So I get it both ways, and I don't look down my nose at either, because as I always quote Mitchell Lipp, Harvey Specter, he It's like, you got to buy time in this world. Mm-hmm. You got to buy time, you know?
Absolutely. Okay.
So you are killing it. What's very cool to me is that your operations manager is still there. Now it's been a year and change, and that mm-hmm. says something about your operation. The consistency you've gained from having one person there consistently for a period of time, that's got to be probably the biggest thing that's helped your business, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, once it was really up and running, having consistency in place with the team members has been huge. Yeah. 'Cause like my operations manager, he's been on the team now for almost 3 years.
Wow.
And he wasn't always in that role, but he's been with me for that long. And then just had another guy who sources for me and does a few other things. He just passed 2 years in January, and then another one will pass 2 years in May. And then there's a couple others that have been with me about a year and a half. So I've been very fortunate with the team I have in place. Just about everybody's been in place for over a year, and the only real transition we have is with part-time people that help us ship products. So the team has been huge. Couldn't do it without them, and I highly recommend everyone to outsource and build a team and make sure you take care of your people and make sure they want to stick around.
Yeah, and it says something, because you can then grow, right? You can work on process and you can improve processes when you're not continually training starting up, right? I mean, so mm-hmm. you really gain that efficiencies in 3 years. That's really incredible. That's a great story. Okay, so we know where you were. We know what you've been doing. What's next for Ryan?
What's next? That's a good question.
I know there'll be something. You always do something.
Yeah, I mean, the Shopify store and running that experiment through, that is something that I'm dedicating time to most weekdays. So that's what definitely dedicating time to, continuing to dedicate time to the consulting program and the coaching things that we do. Those are the two primary focuses for the moment. Longer term, I think buying and reselling websites is something I'm very interested in, and then also providing services to businesses who want to sell on Amazon. Finding more and more about the needs of that. We do a lot of wholesale sourcing now, so we work with a lot of suppliers and distributors. And I think there's a lot of needs for them to understand just all of the avenues of e-commerce, both on Amazon and some of these other platforms as well. So I'd like to be able to figure out ways to team up with businesses to both bring their products on Amazon through my company or help them do it themselves in return for some sort of ongoing fee, or maybe a one-time fee. I don't know exactly, but I think that's the next few places I'm looking.
It makes sense, because people don't realize the knowledge that you have is very specialized, right? I mean, it really mm-hmm. is. And, you know, we kind of joke about it and take it for granted. I mean, think of the education you've had in e-commerce, you know? I mean, it makes accounting learning pale, right? Because right. You know, accounting learning doesn't change very often. I mean, there is a little bit here and there changes, you know, mm-hmm. but generally speaking, it's the same basic. This is evolving continuously, and keeping up with it, you know, really is a big deal. And you know, we shouldn't downplay it. That's awesome. Okay, so you got a lot going on. You're going to have to definitely come back on and give us an update on the Shopify store, because that really interests me. Okay, so last thing. Mm-hmm. Goal of the podcast is to help people move forward. And so I'm going to have links to all your stuff, so I don't want to downplay that. But let's help somebody who is, you know, just in that middle cusp. You know, I always say they're, you know, selling $10,000 or $20,000 a month, and they might want to make a conversion to a full-time.
Mm-hmm.
Give us something that you think that would help them move forward.
Yeah, I think if you're at the $10,000 to $20,000 in sales per month level, you're obviously doing a lot of things right.
Hmm.
What I would look to do at that level is figure out what's working the absolute best, that's getting you the most of those sales, and then see if there's ways that you can ultimately do more of that, and potentially without your time. So if there's something that's generating $10,000 a month that you can put a process in place and then outsource that to a different member of your team, and then or maybe the first member of your team, I think that's what really helps to grow the business, is focus on one thing, really master it, put a process in place, and then have someone else do it. That's kind of what I've done all along with my business, and that's allowed me to grow from that $10,000 to $20,000 a month to much higher. And then, so that would be the first thing, is just put processes in place, get support in your business, and then make sure that you're utilizing resources that are available to you, whether that's paid services, whether that's hiring employees or contractors. Those are great options. And then the other big thing that I would say is just keep money in the business for as long as possible. If you continually reinvest that money in inventory, and you'll see incredible compounded results, especially once you're at that level of like $10,000 per month. Like if you're making 20% month over month, the numbers really start to add up quickly when you're starting at that level. So I would say figure out what's working best. If possible, put a plan in place and outsource it, assuming that's what you're looking to do and build a business out of this. I mean, that's not everybody's goal, but if you're looking to grow, I think that's the way that I would look to do it. And then pump every dollar you can back into the business and then let it grow until you reach your goal.
Wise advice from a wise young man. Although you're getting older, you're gaining on me. Thank God. Thank God you're gaining on me.
Catching up.
Yeah, please keep catching up. Well, yeah, I'm going to stop and then you can just catch up for a while. Okay. Best way to get in touch with you. I mean, I'm going to put a link for your online selling experiment. Is there a Facebook and a private message on Facebook if they have a question?
Yeah. Through the website is probably the best.
You'll get the best response. Okay.
Yeah. Otherwise, email, I prefer email to like a Facebook message. My main email is ryan@onlineselling experiment.com. So if you've got a question or something that I can help you with, feel free to reach out there.
Okay, perfect. All right. Well, thank you, my friend. I can't wait to see you. One of these days we'll cross paths again. Look forward to it. Man, I wish you nothing but success. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. And thanks for having me, Stephen. It's been fun.
Take care. This one smart dude, and I think it's a great interview, and I think it, again, is shows the potential of what can be. Don't limit yourself to just doing one thing. You want to do that and master it, but you want to start looking and expand those boundaries. Bring them out. You know, be intentional about your life, and if you heard one thing with Ryan, very, very intentional. ecommercemomentum.com, ecommercemomentum.com. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.